Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Pick your hymn books very briefly, hymn number 51. And let's talk about the communion. Then we shall take a short break and come back for our second service, communion service. But let's sing about the blood of Jesus Christ, hymn number 51. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. Can we stand up and sing that? Savior died. They are hungry. They have forgotten the truth. Out at the cross, where my Savior died.
Now
we're for cleansing from sin. I cry
to my heart,
yeah, to my heart. Oh, the Lord,
please stay.
Glory to Him. to 2 Peter chapter 1. Remain standing. Let's pick a text from there before we sit down. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's pick our thoughts from what Peter said. And I'll read one verse, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Some people are looking for which page. Can I go on? This is Apostle Peter talking to the church. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. Be seated. God bless you. Very, very, very briefly, there's nothing I'm saying that is new. It's only a continuation of admonishment that Christians need to know. Apostle Peter said, though you know these things, but it is needful that we are always remembered. We are reminded. And the essence of this is so that you can be established in the present truth. And when we say the present truth, hallelujah, there is always a present truth. What is the present truth? The present truth is that there is a message in the land. And the present truth is not, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have gone beyond that now. Hallelujah. And our heart desire as ministers in this end time is that the church, our listeners, the children of God, believers, will be established, that you will be established in the present truth. And church, when we talk about the end time message that God sent His servant in this age to bring, church, so many of us, believers and followers of the ministry of William Branham, misunderstand what the message is even all about. The message, the end time message, church, the end time message is more than don't wear a ring and don't wear trousers and don't paint your face and don't dress like a prostitute sister. It's more than Godhead. It's more than water baptism. The end time message is a message calling your attention to the life of Christ. It is a life. When William Branham made a statement, he said, I would rather walk with a man that has a wrong doctrine but has the right spirit than to walk with a man that has the right doctrine but has a wrong spirit. He said it. We have the doctrine, correct biblical scriptural doctrines established. Nobody can fault us. But when that doctrine attracts somebody to come to us, there is a life that is supposed to reflect. The evidence that you have the correct doctrine, the correct revelation, every revelation you have, I said it during the night vigil, every revelation you have must be reflected in the life that you have. Better revelation, better Christian life. Deeper revelation, deeper Christian life. If they don't go together, something is wrong with that revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there are little things in Christianity that God has used his servant in this age to try to correct, to bring a perfection in the body of Christ. And from time to time, we'll be saying some of these things. The old members, it will look repetitive before you, but you have to be patient, because almost every service, there is somebody coming here for the first time. They want to hear and know what you have heard and known too. And we must give them opportunity. And we always tell the people, go get our tapes. Listen to our taped messages. We have spiritual food. Hallelujah. God has loaded the bride, his bride, with spiritual food. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are three ordinances in the Bible. You know what an ordinance is? An ordinance is a commandment to observe something. From time to time, to observe something. It's an ordinance. We walk by faith. Hallelujah. But as much as we walk by faith, we receive salvation by faith. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? Yes. Come to Jesus, give your life to Christ. You've given your life to Christ. But there is something you will do to confirm your faith. It is called an ordinance. Hallelujah. Now, there are three ordinances in the Bible. The first one is water baptism. Matthew 28, go ye into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is an ordinance. Every believer must be baptized as an ordinance. That's why until Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, he saw those 12 men on his way to Ephesus, and he had to ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they were telling him, they didn't even understand what he meant by the Holy Ghost. And he quickly added, unto what then were you baptized? What type of baptism did you do? Because that ordinance, something follows if you go through that ordinance. Second ordinance in the Bible is the communion. Matthew chapter 26, from verse 26, he took the bread and broke it, gave them to eat. This is my body that is offered for you. Took the cup after he has supped. He offered it to them. That is the blood of the new testament, the new covenant, which is in my blood. And as often as you do this, you eat that flesh, you drink that blood, you take that wine, you take that bread, he said, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11, Apostle Paul says so. It is therefore an ordinance, and every group of believers, you must partake of the communion. And the third one is the feet washing. And that is John chapter 13. And what he said he did to those apostles, they are to do, he showed it to them as an example that they should do it for one another. He said, happy are you if you know this, if you do these things. He left it as an ordinance. Therefore, we have water baptism and conversion, feet washing and communion, they go together. Communion and the feet washing, they go together. It's an ordinance that go together. Now, but these three ordinances are misunderstood. Every one of them. That's why we try to correct here every Tuesday concerning water baptism. And once every month in this church, we come together for communion, and every opportunity we have, we try to let the people just joining us or just watching us through our broadcast to have opportunity to have these things corrected. Now, and Apostle Paul, knowing the importance of communion, this is how he put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Can we read it? Let's read a few scriptures briefly, then we'll take a break and come back for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Or let me read it from verse 23. Let's just read it complete so that you see the emphasis. We read this scripture once every month, but sometimes the meaning gets deeper for understanding. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And most ministries, pastors, believers, they read this scripture and they end in verse 26. But it's needful to go beyond verse 26, because you must consider what he has spoken after that statement, the revelated apostle to the Gentiles. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 27 should make every believer to be afraid, scared. No believer wants to be guilty of the body of Jesus Christ. Those who were guilty of crucifying on the cross of Calvary, you saw what happened to them. You know what happened to Judas. And you know what happened to the Jews. After they rejected him in AD 33, by AD 70, you know what happened to them. And they have been suffering that thing till today. Nobody should want to be guilty of the body of Jesus Christ. These are scriptures that when you read, you say, eh? So, is there a way somebody can take this communion and be guilty and bring a curse upon himself? Therefore, you will begin to think twice before you even go and take that bread and take that wine. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself. Let a woman examine herself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Eateth and drinketh a curse upon himself. That's what it means. Eateth and drinketh trouble upon his life. Eateth and drinketh wahala upon himself. Why? My emphasis is that last statement. Not discerning the Lord's body. It's because you don't understand the Lord's body. That's why you come anyhow. Praise God. I have seen churches that have so commonized the communion, so commonized it, until the value of that ordinance is totally lost. Church, anytime it's time for communion service, if it's a proper church, and if you're a true Christian, it is a time to reflect on the salvation process. It is a time to sit down for the first time in a long while to begin to look at what happened on the cross on Calvary and begin to picture in your mind the trouble, the wahala that man went through, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross on Calvary. Not for himself, he did not commit any crime, but he did it for you. He did it for me. It is a time that if it's a proper reflection of what he did on the cross on Calvary, it is a time that after that day, something happens within your spirit man that gets you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to make you love him the more, to make you live a life that is pleasing before him. You can't begin to live a life again that can hurt him. That's why he said, people come and eat that bread and drink that cup, from that cup, unworthily, and they drink damnation to themselves. They drink condemnation to themselves because they don't understand what the body of Jesus Christ is all about. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, I try to look at the dictionary meaning of the word communion. In the Oxford Dictionary, the word commune, from where you get community, commune, it says it's a group of people who live together and share responsibilities and possessions. What a meaning. A commune or a community is a group of people who live together and share responsibilities and possessions. Therefore, what is a Holy Communion? Holy Communion, therefore, is a group of holy people. A group of holy people who live together and share responsibilities and possessions. That's why it is a Holy Communion. That is, it's a holy community. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They share things in common. And what is that common thing that Christians share? What is that common thing we share? What is it that made all of us to gather together? What is it that made me to be able to call you, sister? You be Igbo? You be Igbo? Igbo? You be Igbo?
Yes, sir.
Me, you call me Hausa man. What will make a Hausa man call an Igbo woman sister?
It's because the love of God.
Ananti? Hallelujah. Oh, Obiora, you are from Kigwe? Where are you from?
Enugu.
Enugu?
Yes, sir.
Enugugu?
No, Enugu. Enugu?
Enugu.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Problem. Have you ever been to Akwanga?
No, I've been to Maiduguri.
Have you been to Akwanga?
No, I've not been to Akwanga.
What's the name of your village?
Abogu.
Abogu. Amororo. Is it in the map of Nigeria?
Yes, it's in the map of Nigeria.
Amororo. Praise God. Okay, I have never been to your village.
Exactly.
You have never been to my village. You don't speak my tribe. I don't speak your language. You don't speak my language. I don't speak your language. Yet, I call you Brother Obiora. You call me Brother Moses.
Exactly.
What is it that made you my brother? What is it that made me you my sister? What is it? What is it? It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's why. That is what makes us a community. A group of people that live together and share possessions. share our feelings with one another. We are a community. We believe. We have our tenets. We have the things we stand for. The thing that bring us together. We're a community. That's why we come to hold communion around the common thing that binds all of us together. Amen. And that thing is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. If not for Jesus, I won't call you my brother. I will call you that woman. That man. Hey, young man. My prayer is that somebody will understand something that will change your thinking. Because not too many Christians know this. There are some people, the thing that bind them together is their church. And yet they claim to be Christians. It's your church that bind you together. Therefore, if I am not a member of your church, I am not your brother. If you are not a member of my church, you are not my brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh, brother? Brother? Which church did you go? Are you a member of this church?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you a member of this church?
Yes, sir.
From which church did you come here?
Church of Christ.
Church of Christ?
Yes.
In Lagos, here?
Yes.
Why did you leave that church to come here?
I decided to worship here.
And why did you decide to worship here?
They are not spiritually inclined.
Eh?
They don't believe in spiritual prayer.
They don't believe in prayer.
Yes.
Spiritual prayer.
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And they don't prophesize.
But they still call you their brother in that church?
Yes.
Do you still visit them? The members?
Long I have left that place.
Do they visit you?
I left Ikeja since then.
They don't visit you?
No.
You don't visit them?
I don't visit.
But they don't fight you because you left their church? Did they fight you because you left them?
No.
Okay, maybe they didn't even know you were a member. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The thing where they worry on our prayer. So it's during prayer he's awake. But during preaching of the word, he sleeps. Praise God. Which church did you come from?
Catholic Church.
Eh?
Catholic Church.
Catholic Church. Okay. Sit down where we understand communion. Amen. Church, listen. This is very important. Hallelujah. What binds us together is not a church. It's not a church. You are my brother if you believe in Christ. You are my sister if you believe in Christ. Amen. Not if you are a member of Bride Assembly. Some of you make that same mistake that all these funny churches make. Are you a bride? No. Where did they go? Now we know. What do you not know? Okay. Which baptism did you do? Which baptism? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Blind people. Amen. You know, Christians don't act like that. Hallelujah. Listen, church. I want you to know why you call somebody sister. Why you call somebody brother? As we come for this communion today. A group of people who live together and share responsibilities and possessions. Sharing here, I said the common thing that binds all of us together is that we come here to share the body of Christ, to share the blood of Jesus Christ. In sharing that blood, one body broken onto parts for every one of us to benefit from. That one body of Christ is what makes us a communion of people. And in sharing there, you must understand, praise the Lord. When you say you share the body of Christ, when you take that body, the bread, to eat, amen. Listen, you are also sharing in the sufferings of Christ. When you take that bread to eat, you are sharing also in the sufferings of Christ and the sufferings of the brethren. We are supposed to share in one another's sufferings, because if you are part of me, I am part of you. If you suffer, automatically I must suffer. If you rejoice, I will rejoice. If we are truly linked together by that blood, your blood brothers and sisters, we see how some of you carry their pictures. They come for prayers. We see how you borrow money to go and settle your blood brother's hospital bills. You have no money to come to church. But if your mother falls sick tomorrow you will get money to travel to village. Why? There is a bond. You have a proper understanding of your responsibility, because that is your blood relation. There is a responsibility that flows because of that relationship. But when you bring it to Christ, not too many Christians know of the bond of the blood of Jesus Christ binding you and I. You are sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Let's read one scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let the Bible talk a little while. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. Because so many of us, Christianity has been misrepresented. Some of us don't know that suffering, a believer's suffering, is part of the Christian life. Church, listen. A believer suffering, a believer suffering is part of a Christian life. The gospel that points you only to enjoyment, is a dangerous gospel if they don't tell you also that there is suffering there. Because the day suffering comes, you will think that you are no more a Christian, that's why you are suffering. Or you will think that God has left you, that's why you are suffering. Or you think that you are doing something horrible, that's why you are suffering. No, suffering is part of the things we share in Christ. You have to understand it. That is the problem with the believers. Pastor Weston, an inter-message pastor from Jos, was here last week, and I held an interview with him since he couldn't come. From discussion with him at home, I got to know that this man, I need to put some things down. Let me ask him some questions. I put it down for the brethren to hear. Hallelujah. A 1 hour interview that I had, a very loaded. Those of you that I gave the tapes to, Pastor Thomas and some two sisters here, those of you who read it, I had your feedback, how you were blessed. Please, I've just told them to produce that message and put it in the tape stand. You can go pick a copy for yourself. I titled it, The Problem with the Believer. The Problem with the Believers. What is the problem with the believers? And it's very, very insightful, very, 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 very enriching, very, very enriching to the soul. Try to listen to it. To know that we as Christians, sometimes we suffer. And the reason why we suffer, there are two reasons why we suffer. Number one, we suffer because God uses suffering also to shape us. Secondly, we suffer because the adversary has made us his target. You are a light, and when darkness sees you, it starts to fight you. Why are you suffering? just because you are a Christian. That's what Apostle Peter is admonishing us here. Verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and God rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified for the suffering you are going through. People don't read this part of the scripture. All they read is, the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. And the Lord shall supply all your need. Hey, no matter which one you read, which one you choose, this one will still be in the Bible. And whether you read it or not, you will go through it. Hallelujah. That's one thing about God. Romans chapter 8. It says, verse 28, say, all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. If God call you, he call you for a purpose. Church, suffering is part of Christianity. Adjust your spirit man now. Adjust. Listen, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I just say this? The Bible says something. That we are a building. What God is doing is putting us together for a building for the habitation of God. Church, listen. God's place of worship in the wilderness was the tabernacle. He left the tabernacle when Solomon had to build a temple. The temple was destroyed because he cannot live in physical buildings. Now, where is his temple? This is who we are. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says so. All of us come together again for a bigger temple, a house. The church of Jesus Christ is the temple of God, where God comes and dwells. Listen, church. It's important you know that. The Bible refers to us as a city. We are the new Jerusalem. All that description, the book of Revelation, about the new city that was coming from heaven is the bride of Jesus Christ. We are a temple. The Bible refers to us as lively stones. We are put together for a building. That building is the temple. It's the temple. See where we miss it. Every one of us that is a believer, we are a building material for that temple. Every one of us, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, it is important that you catch this. I caught it many years ago. And that's why my Christian life is more defined than so many Christians, even ministers of God everywhere that I have come across. You can't have the revelation I have and commercialize the gospel. You can't have this revelation that I have about what salvation is and do all this nonsense people are doing called church. I'm
so conscious of heaven that every day, hallelujah, I have known that I will never go to heaven because I am a pastor. Nobody goes to heaven because he was anything in the body of Christ. Nobody goes to heaven because he's a prophet. Nobody goes to heaven because he's a prayer warrior. Nobody goes to heaven because he's an evangelist. Nobody will go to heaven because he had a large church. That's why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Work out your salvation, Apostle Paul, with trembling and fear. Because the people that will miss heaven the most are preachers. Because there is a way the grace of God upon us, we misunderstand it and it deceives us to assume positions that we are not given. Before you know what, all manner of filthy lifestyles around the gospel, until a preacher is exhibiting hatred and he's spiritualizing it to mean holy anger. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, church, this is important. Now, before God can bring you into that temple for you to be part of that building that he's building called the body of Christ, the habitation of God, go back to the Old Testament, Solomon's temple. There was, hallelujah, a temple that Solomon was built. His father already prepared the stones that be used to build that temple. The father, it was not Solomon that prepared it, it was his father that prepared it. That means there was a quarry. You know what a quarry means? Where building stones are prepared, where stones are blasted. Quarry, I think they call it quarry. A quarry. We are building stones that they use for building, they are prepared. It is in the quarry that the stones are sharpened, the cornerstone, the one that will form foundation, is supposed to be bigger, supposed to have a particular size, and all. Solomon's temple, the Bible says, when the building was going on, it took 7 years for that temple to be built. It said, there was no sound, noise of a hammer or chisel had. Because the stones were already prepared. So the builders, for every place, there was a stone for that space. They only carry it and just put it there. It will just key in. Boop. Nothing like hammer here so that you go fit in. No. It was already done. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I have seen people who came to me in this church. And they think that we are one of those churches. They come with Bible school certificate. Pastor, I want to work with you. I just finished Bible school. Or some say, I had a revelation, Pastor, that I am a full-time minister. And Pastor, I want to work in this ministry. I want to work. Hear the language. I want to work in this ministry. Amen. Praise God. So, I always laugh and I will answer them. You want to work? I say, work now. Do you need approval for me to work? If you need approval for me to work, that is evidence that God didn't call you to work. If you are an evangelist, go and join the evangelical department. If you are a prophet, see vision. Do you need my permission for you to see vision? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's because there are churches that advertise. A brother that is a pastor in one of our neighboring churches, their branch in the east, he came to me. He says, Pastor, I say, how did you come to that church? He said, you are just 1 year old in that church. And you're already pastoring a branch. He said, yes. That the first day he came to that church, that the Jew said, if you were a minister before in your former church, please wait after service. So all of them waited. He said, very good. So where were you pastoring? Okay, I'm going to post you. You go and walk in this branch. You go and walk in this branch. You go and walk in this branch. Hallelujah. That is what goes on in the denomination. But we, our eyes of understanding, He has opened up. Wait, our time don't go. Wait. Wait first. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No! Church! Amen. What the Bible says, all them that shall live godly in Christ, they shall do what? You will suffer persecution. Trials, God allows it. That difficult moments you go through when you give your life to Christ, it is God's query to shape you. Before God relies on you, before God relies on you, He must make you pass through a fire. Before God can commit any serious ministry to your hand, you must be tested. What the testing does, it achieves two things. The Bible says, it gives you experience, and experience also builds hope. Hallelujah. What it does is it fortifies you. He likened our faith to that of gold. Every gold, the gold that is removed from the earth, before that quality gold comes out, where does it go through? And our faith is much more precious than gold. The Bible says so. As gold goes through fire to get it refined, every Christian will undergo a refining process. The fire that piece of metal goes through, every nyama that has attached because it was on earth, in the world, through that period, all the nyama burns away. It brings you out, refined, pure, and now become valuable. You are only valuable after you have undergone that fire. I'm summarizing it. I'm telling you Bible. Praise the Lord. Rose. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. That rose flower, you know, it's a very beautiful fragrance. The fragrance, you know, it's very, very, you know, the scent, the fragrance, wonderful fragrance. But when that rose flower is there, as beautiful as it is, when you want to smell the beauty of the fragrance, what do? To that flower, you squeeze it. If you don't squeeze that flower, you won't smell the good aroma that comes out of it. You will not know the spirit that is in me until you squeeze me. Squeeze me with trials and temptations and difficulties, and see what I produce. By their fruits, you know them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I have an evil spirit in me, if you squeeze me, that spirit will react. Don't try me. I don't warn you. Don't try me. Don't try me. I've been taking it to this woman. I've been allowing her. Enough is enough. The first say I'm a Christian does not mean I'm a fool. Physically, I will show you. Spiritually, I will show you. You are not a Christian, no? You are not a Christian. You have been squeezed for what is in you to come out. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ He was squeezed on the cross on Calvary. They were killing him. At that point, he had the power to speak them out of existence. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Communion is to share in that kind of experience. To share in that kind of suffering. Praise God. First Peter, I read on. Chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. Which verse was I reading, sir? Hallelujah. Verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. There are people that suffer because of their carnality. And they say, I'm suffering because I'm a Christian. No, you are not suffering for Christ, so if you are suffering because you are a gossip, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Suffering. Sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Romans chapter 8. One verse there. Verse 17. Hallelujah. Verse 16 and verse 17. It says, the Spirit, he said, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, if we are children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with who? With Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The followers of Jesus Christ. Sharing. The communion will come. When you take that bread, you are announcing that you are sharing in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That bread you are holding, the body that was bruised, an innocent man suffering, I will also suffer with him. I will go the way of the cross. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, he should pick his mattress and follow me. What did he say he should pick? Pick his cross, and his cross was so heavy that a black man had to help him to carry it. An Ethiopian. So heavy. Your own will not be lighter. Certain. If they hated him, they will hate you too. If they kill him, they will try to kill you too. And you are demonstrating your stand with Christ when you hold that bread. A proper understanding of that is important. You are also sharing in the sufferings of one another, of brethren. You cannot therefore say, you are my brother, and I know you have a problem, and I ignore you and say, I am your brother. I am a liar. There's a greater feeling you have for him that covers some mistakes that he makes. It's love, covering a multitude of sin. Somebody reminds you of what he has done against you. You can't even see it. Love has blinded you to see that. Therefore, if you see a brother, a sister that is having a problem, you are aware of it. I always like to add, you are the one aware. I'm not talking about the baby alarms in the church. I'm not talking about somebody coming to tell you all the story, horrible things, to appeal to your conscience, so that you get so emotional, and then unknown to you, he's a liar. There are the full churches everywhere because no fear of God anymore. No. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I like the instance that a sister came last Tuesday. She came to the office together with those who paid the evangelical, came to redeem the evangelical support vow. And when they were going out, the Lord showed me something concerning her. And I said, "That sister, come back. The rest of you can go out." I said, "Sit down. What is your problem?" And tears started coming out of her eyes. I said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "She's been trying to see me all this while. But for one reason or the other, she's not been able. That she prayed that God, as I will go to pay my evangelical vow, cause him to call me to find out what my problem is." And she was so excited, that's why tears were coming out of her eyes. You see? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, anything she tells me is her problem, you know it will be the truth. Praise the Lord. Another sister too, who had been praying. She's an orphan. And, you know, a same kind of setting. She said she knew that the day that I will have contact with this man, my life will change. That's her testimony long after it happened. Amen. An orphan, no help, in a very, very serious situation. Brother Jerry, you were there that day. Hallelujah. And that day, school, she no go because of her background. A young girl, I will share it with my wife later. Amen. But by the time she left my office, she had capital to start her own business. Praise the Lord. And I was telling, it was later she said that was her prayer answered. That somehow she knew, if I will meet with this man, amen, it is not that she had somebody say, "When I met this man." Because as I do now, you go see text messages tire after today's service. You go see phone call. "Pastor, I'm also a fertile ground. Try me. So on me." I'm trying to tell you in the church, because why? I don't know her. Even if she stand before me, I don't know whether I will recognize her. Jerry, I was asking you, can you recognize her? I said, I can't recognize her. I said, "Please, when she come next time, let me see her, because I can't even recognize her. I was seeing her for the first time." Church, but there is a feeling. Something inside of me knew that was a Christian. Deep. Call it to the deep. See, there is something that connects us. If a Christian meets another Christian, something will click. It will click. That's why I say, watch your spirit man. Anybody that comes to you and you are feeling uncomfortable, run away. If it's a Christian, something automatic will connect. And when that connection is established, and you ignore the problems when you're in position to help, how are you sharing in the suffering of one another? And it was not church money I gave that sister. Praise the Lord. It was my own pocket I gave her. Church. Hallelujah. And that should be your testimony too. God causes your attention to somebody who has a need, don't ignore it. That is the Holy Communion. A gathering of holy people. See, a young man, in fact, a member of this church, was telling me that he was a member of Ogboni. And he told me, he said, the bond of Ogboni members is higher than the bond that he sees among Christians. He told me his testimony. He said, he had to travel. Somebody died or so in the village. The relation died. And they hired a vehicle to carry people from Lagos. They reached Benin. Their vehicle spoiled. And it was getting late. And they must reach home that evening. So they had to go to the park. He said when he got to the park, he saw the Ogboni sticker, a sign on a commercial vehicle. Ah, he said, my brother is here. Now my brother must be this. Brotherhood. He asked the driver, please, where is the owner of this vehicle? He said the person went and called the owner. Immediately he came, he said he made their sign. The man said, now my brother with this, come now, what happened? He brought him and he told him. He also showed him his card that shows he's a member. And he said they offloaded the passengers on that vehicle. And he told the driver, carry this one. He said, now my brothers, with this, carry them, go. I told him, don't pay. He said, because he told him that the money he had is the one they chartered that vehicle. Now they don't have any money. He said, he should not pay. He should just go, drop them, and let the man come back. Oh, money. But what of Christians? Hallelujah. What of Christians? Holy Communion is about sharing. Sharing responsibilities and sharing possessions. Church, we are restored ministry. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Are we there? Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received Peter's word, his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, communion, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things. They had all things. Come on. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Church, they had all things in common. That is, there was nothing like my own. It was our own. Our own. That's a very difficult gospel to preach now. The reason is this. Cares have taken advantage of the liberty of Christians. Because it is our phone. Brother, you get credit for your phone. Please give me. Then you will sit down and talk and talk and talk until the credit is finished. Then return your phone for you. If it is our phone, if the credit is finished, I will load it back before I give you. If not, you are a devourer. Next time you come near me, I say, I beg, I don't give you. And heaven will say, amen. Because you are a devourer. You collect my car, and the car spoil for your hand. Then you come and pack it. Brother, I don't know what happened. The car, I don't pack it for your house. Then I'll go and fix it again. Then tomorrow you come again. Can I have your car? One drop on my mouth for hospital. I know they give you. That's not Christianity, oh. That's not Christian love. If your kind of Christian love now like that, you are a mumu, mumu. If I collect your car to use, when I'm returning it, I'll bring it back in an estate that you'll be happy to give me next time. Oh, it's my brother. It's my brother. It's my brother. And I open my door for you to come and stay with me. And you don't know that you cannot stay with me forever. You should stay and make every effort to leave when it is time for you to leave. You are living with me. I have only one room. Now I say I want marry. You are waiting for me to give you quit notice. You want to stay for my room with me and my wife? Hey, brother, brother, brother. You are not brother, nothing. Nothing. That's not brotherhood. You are living with me. You dey work now my house. You dey work. I don't see your money. But for my house, you dey chop all my food. You say we'll be brother. I'll give you quit notice. You will leave. You will leave. You're a devourer. That's not Christianity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are living with me. And instead of you, as a brother, I treat as a brother. Instead, you are ganging up with neighbors against me. All my secret. Then you tell them outside. I will give you quit notice. You are living with me and you are busy destroying my spiritual life. Since you enter my house, my prayer life, I don't pray again. Every time. Now once you start the visit to every time. Now this one the visit every time. Every time. Brother, that is not holy communion. Holy communion. Holy. It must be holy. Our gathering must be holy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ and sharing in the sufferings of brethren. We are also sharing in the victory of Christ. When you pick that bread, it is also announcing a victory. Death could not hold him captive. Hallelujah. Death cannot hold me captive. He said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I'm eating that bread, they ate manna in the wilderness, and for 40 years they had strength. No hospital in the wilderness. It is victory you are holding. By his stripes, we are healed. You are holding a victory when you hold that piece of bread in your hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, in all this we are more than conquerors. Through who? That's what you are holding. Through that bread. Through that body of Jesus Christ. Who strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans. Okay, let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the way Apostle Paul put that cup. The way he described it. Verse 16 and verse 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, it makes us to be brethren. That's why we call ourselves brethren. We are brethren. But because we are brethren, hallelujah. Why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he was talking about eating it unworthily. He's referring to the attitude also we have to towards one another, which I've been trying to express here. You're coming to the communion and you are harboring hatred among yourselves, unforgiveness among yourselves, fight and quarreling. People sitting there in the church don't talk to one another. The last time I preached this, when we took a break, the essence of taking that break, why we take a break before we come back, is for somebody to have opportunity to sort it out with someone. But instead, a brother took off and went home. What happened? He said, fear catch me, and I make me no fit. Wait, take. Say the way Pastor talk, I know I make cause to follow me. No. We are saying it so that you can repent. That's the essence of saying it the way we say. During that break, take time, take a few minutes and say, Lord, that useless man that disappointed me, he's in Hong Kong now. You know, you can't even see him. He go marry another woman. I curse him. Out of anger. And I know say heaven. No say I'm right. Which heaven? I curse him. Somebody is suffering because you cursed him and you are happy here. Whether the curse work or not, you are in bitterness. All we do is just find a place during the break and say, Father, I forgive that useless man. I forgive him. Father, you see my heart. I forgive him. Father, I'll be praying for him. I'll be blessing him. That is what we expect you to do. And you can't live this, come on, live a useless lifestyle and come and take bread and wine. If you're a fornicator, oh, from today, say, Father, I don't open my leg for any man again till I marry. That's what God wants to hear. And you must mean it. It's not for you to run. No. It's for you to repent. And I thief my master money every time. Father, I don't thief again. The one where they bank, and they carry go give up. I believe in restitution. If you can restitute. But if you have spent the money, there's nothing you can do. But if it still remain 1,000 naira, go to your master. Oga, forgive me, native this money. My spirit will not grieve me. I say, make a return. Take your money. What are the one where the thief before? Oga, forget that one. This one will give. Hallelujah. It's repentance. Whether now your husband money is a thief, no thief again. If now your husband, your wife money, because some men, now their wife money, then they thief. Thief, not thief. Thief, not thief. You know, there are some men that are bullies. Bully. That muscle that God gave you is for you to use it to protect your wife, not to use it to be scaring her. We will talk about them later. Amen. There are some women that if somebody touch their money, they go hide them. Make their husband know it. See. Because if he see them, he's collecting it. He will collect. To the last cobble, he collect it. You're a bully. It's even a shameful, it's a shameless man that will do that. Now that's the truth. A proper man can never do that. Well, they dash your wife money. Come. Where that money they give you? And that can break marriage. That can end her beating that day. May you not marry a madman in the name of Jesus. We will talk about that next week. We'll talk about marriage next week. Not be now. But for now, community. Communion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a cup of blessing. Don't turn it to a curse. Eating the flesh and drinking the blood. When Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Hallelujah. He's not talking about you. Take that wine and drink. Take the bread and eat. It's that what it means there is you eating there is understanding. Eating there is understanding. Except you understand what that body is and what that blood is, you will never have life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Catholic Church, you say, Holy Eucharist. He said, that is the actual body of Jesus Christ. It is not the actual body. It's not. There is no prayer that you can ever pray to turn that bread to the actual body of Jesus Christ. Lie, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that. It is their lack of understanding of eating the body of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus. Eating there is understanding. What do you understand that he did on the cross on Calvary for you? It's that understanding that reflects on your Christian life. Amen. This is my imagination. I try to understand. I have sometimes sat down to begin to meditate. A Christian man and a Christian woman in an atmosphere like this, where we talk, you see the reality of God, we preach the truth. You will still live here and go and open your legs for a man that did not marry you. And still wake up in the morning and kneel down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In your boyfriend's bed, the bed that you committed fornication, in the name of Jesus, today I bind the devil. I bind as I go out place, I come in place. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Father, fight my enemies. Father, fight in Jesus' name. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. In your husband, boyfriend, you slept, you fornicated, you stood up and knelt down by that same bed. Is something wrong with you? You have not understood the body of Jesus Christ. You have not. If you do, you will not be able to even say in Jesus the way you wake up. I'm talking to somebody. Holy Communion. Your relationship with one another must be holy. My coming close to you must be a holy closeness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I will hold microphone like this. A preacher, anointed preacher. Then when I finish, I'll carry church member to a hotel. Okay, waiting and they tell themselves before then they do the action. Waiting and they talk. None of them they remind say now from church will they come. Oh. But you be pastor, don't do this. Oh. Waiting they answer you. Then the next day he will stand. Every demon. God have mercy. I say God will have mercy. William Branham said a Christian has no right to taste alcohol except on the Lord's table. There are drunkards that if they see this communion wine, they are ready to take it and sit down and finish the whole bottle. Drunkards. And let me show you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for them must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a what? I don't know why Bible just they use man. What a woman. Brother, you will shout sister. Sister, you shout brother. If a man be a... brother or sister, that is, he says he's a Christian brother, a Christian sister. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, 419, or an idolater, or fight, a rela, abuse. Small thing you do, go just open your mouth, woo, abuse, cause everything. That's what you see. I have seen couple, husband and wife, that have no regard for one another's relations. When the man offends the woman, you will start to abuse your papa, your mama, now your family. Now your family, where the family where you come from, will not bring you up. Now, what do you concern my mama for this matter? What do you concern my papa for this matter? Amen. And then when you say, neighbors will say, stop this now. Why are you there? Hey, leave this man. Make a show of who I be. We know who you be. You be tiger. If that person is a rela, and what again? Or what? Say it very loud. Say it very loud. When I don't go to school, after rela, what is the next thing there? Shout that drunkard. Shout it, drunkard. Ask your neighbor, are you a drunkard? No, I don't drink, but I know they get drunk. And I'm my own, but I know they get drunk. And I only small, just they take shot. Now go and they take shot to clean my body, you know, just to clean. This is the Holy Ghost speaking. If any man be a drunkard or an extortioner, 419. And the worst is the one that used the name of the Lord to 419 people. God will say. Extortioner. Pastor Thomas prayed, handle one man's case abroad at Cotonou. And the problem was solved. The person that introduced him here told him, the man of God that God used, go and thank him, go and bless him. He bought 2 bags of rice. He bought 2 bags of rice plus ororo and those Cotonou things. Put it inside motor and landed here to give the man of God to appreciate you for the great deliverance that God used you to do for me. An evangelist in this church. Saw him. I said, come. I went to the office. He said, we are the ones that God is using in this church. Put those things here. No, but there's the pastor. There's one pastor there I want to show. He said, just if you have like 2,000 naira, just go and give him, thank him. Don't worry. We shall use this for motherless babies, for orphans, so that your blessing will be permanent. And collected it. Poor pastor. Pastor Thomas. He sat down in his office, saw somebody say, sir, thank you very much. I bring envelope for the thing God used you to do. He said, what is it? He reminded him. He said, oh, I am not the one that did it. Go to the offering box at the altar and drop it there. Hallelujah. The man left and dropped it at the offering box. But unknown to Pastor Thomas, his bag of rice and as a mighty evangelist in Bride Assembly. Extortioner. Now listen to that last statement. Anybody who is a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. He said, we such a one. No, not to do what? No, not to eat. That eat there is not your okra and a bar in the house. It is communion. Don't eat with such a person. A brother that you know. That is why we are supposed to be watchmen. Watch one another. If you know anybody that is a fornicator, is a member of this church, report him so that proper action can be taken. Don't eat with him, because in eating with him, you are polluting that communion. You know anybody that is a drunkard? And the truth is, you see, some of us, we should be sincere with ourselves and submit ourselves for deliverance. A man that says he's a Christian, when you see a woman, it's not your wife, your body charged, you know there's a spirit. You know you need deliverance. Immediately you see alcohol, your mouth go water water. You know you are possessed with an alcoholic spirit. We are all drunkards like that. But when we met Christ, the taste for alcohol died. Why is your own like that? It's evidence you need deliverance. He took my own away. We are all womanizers. We were. All of us were womanizers. Every young man. You don't look at me. Were you not one before? Amen. When I talk my own, then others going to do like say, then burn them for church. We were all like that. But when we met with Christ, it did something. And the evidence that you need deliverance, I am the one. If God delivers me, it means it is possible to deliver you too. You are doing something that is wrong. You are the temple of God. Don't defile that temple. It is the understanding of the body of Christ. Knowing who you are, you won't want to defile yourself. You don't know who you are. That's why it is easy for you to defile yourself. No resistance, nothing. I'll marry you now. I'll marry you. You go marry me. You go marry me. Say, okay, enter. Without thinking of the implication spiritually. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You who will go and borrow money from a believer and refuse to pay. Who are you to pay? You who will go and lie before a believer. Men who claim to be Christians and to break the heart of a woman means nothing to them. Heartbreakers. How many are there here? Wave your hand. Heartbreakers. Heartbreakers. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. I love you. Hey, I love you. There's more time. You see another girl? Huh? Sister, that did not go work. What happened? My mama say. Now lie. You don't see another woman. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Holy communion. So we're talking about. Let me close. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My prayer is that somebody will understand the meaning of that cup you will hold, and that body you will raise, that piece of bread you will hold. Praise the Lord. It is that togetherness, demonstration of brotherhood, that we go to communion, feet washing. You take a brother, take a sister, I wash your own, you wash my own. What is the meaning? What he's saying is demonstrating that I'll be watching over you, you will be watching over me. You will stand for me, I'll stand for you. This journey is a difficult journey. On the way, you will pick some things, you will fall. Temptation, trials will come, you may be weak and you will fall. I will help you, I will stand by you. And not to help you kill you the more. Help you kill you the more. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And we too, we must live a life that we make sure the accuser of the brethren will have nothing to accuse us. Especially those of us who are ministers, leaders in the church, preachers, evangelists, all of us, every day, the enemy is looking for something to say against you. He's looking for something that you use against you. When they come, let them find nothing in you. Let them find nothing in you. Praise the Lord. Let them find nothing in you. You have your car, brother, minister. As the driver go, you can give woman lift for inside motor. One brother go see him, carry microphone, go announce, say they see you with girlfriend for your motor. Without minding to know what your relationship is. It may be true, it may be lie. But keep your testimony free of accusations. Therefore, be careful how you move around. It's true. You have brethren here. I received a text 2 days ago. Pastor, whoever it is, I forgot to call you. I deleted the text, so I couldn't get your number. I wanted to call you back. Said the text, Pastor, I had a revelation. I saw a revelation. One of the prophets slept with a woman wearing black suit in his office. I texted back. Please, what is the name of the prophet? He mentioned the name of the prophet. So I added the name. I forwarded the text to the prophet. They said they see you in a revelation. They see you in a revelation with a woman wearing black suit in your office. And small time, the prophet's wife called me. And on the background, they were laughing and laughing. What's the problem? He said, my husband just showed me a text you sent. He said, day before yesterday, Wednesday, we were in the church. It was so late. I couldn't go back home. And you remember you saw me that day. I was wearing a black suit. I was wearing a black suit. So we slept in the church. Somebody now saw her coming out of the office. Didn't know that it is the prophet's wife. And now sent text to me that he saw it in a revelation. And the prophet told me, he said, Daddy, that is a check for me. It means they are watching me. I said, you are correct. You are being watched. And you don't need anybody to tell you you are being watched. I need revelation prophecy to tell me I'm being watched. Eh? I need prophet to tell me you are watched. I am watched. Because we are hitting the kingdom of darkness, then we want to hit back. There are people that are sitting down here, my church members, but I am not their pastor. They hate me. They hate me. They are sitting down here. Praise the Lord. I know. Hallelujah. I know it's a mystery of redemption. It's a mystery of the body of Christ. Why are you here and you hate the pastor and yet you come here? It is because you are here on assignment. You are here, and if they cannot get what they can use against me, I hear text that you know a church member can't send that to their pastor. I receive it. They abuse me. They say all manner of things. When I say it, see it, I laugh. They must deceive them because that is evidence I'm hitting somebody. But if I'm not having making effect, if my messages are not effective, there will be no reaction. The fact that there's reaction, it means I am effective. Continue to send them. Continue to send them. Send them. Send those messages back. I am a converted man. I can never see your text and get angry with you. Your text only let me know who you are. That's all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what feet washing is all about. When you see a brother in sin, do you take microphone and announce it? Or you go to him and help him out of his estate? And when you think that it's a pathological case, he's the one that he can't change, then you report to the sanity group. We have a sanity group in this church. We have a disciplinary committee in this church. If you see somebody in a wrong estate and you go to report it to somebody else other than the sanity group, the disciplinary committee, you are a gossip. You are sulfuric acid in the church. You are trying to break fellowship. It is wrong. That is what feet washing is all about. I wash your own. Me too, Uncle. You will wash my own. And the idea of churches where pastor, we carry basin, sit down for altar, and members are coming, he's washing their feet. It's wrong, though. Only Jesus did it for the disciples in John 13. He said he's doing it as an example that they should do it to one another. It is an example for us to do it to one another. Because I have watched some GOs on their feet washing day. They will sit down at the altar with a chair and towel and soap. And the members will line up. And you'll be washing them. Is doing that is you have taken the position of Jesus. No. Do it with revelation. They are to wash one another's feet. I will pick somebody too. You wash my own, I will wash your own. And it must not be your friend. That's why, as you are sitting down like this, when it is time, you will go with the person sitting by your side. You go and wash. When you finish, you stand up, you hug one another and pray for one another. And I expect when you do that, whosoever you wash his feet, he should be your prayer partner for that month. I ask for your phone number. Give you my own. I take your own. And then give me your prayer request. I give you my own. And throughout that month, we are praying for one another. If you have any problem, you call that number. Brother, I hope you are still praying for me. That is what the true communion is all about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Finally, amen. It must be kept correctly. Like they misunderstand water baptism, so also have they misunderstood the taking of the communion. First and foremost, it is taken in the evening. In the evening. That is what you see as in Exodus chapter 12, in John chapter 13, and verse 2. John 13 verse 2. Supper being ended. And 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23. I explained this in the vigil Friday night, that it is called the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's breakfast, not the Lord's lunch. It is taken in the evening because it is speaking about the body of Jesus Christ that was offered in the evening of God's program at the ending of the world system. This world will soon end. God is pulling his children out of this world in the rapture. He sent the prophet Moses, go to Pharaoh, tell him, let my people go. As they were going to leave Egypt, a type of the world, there were plagues. The last one that was to take place was the plague of death of the firstborn child. And he told them, take the lamb, the Passover lamb. They were to kill it and eat it in the evening. And they were to take it in haste. In the evening, they had to take it, wear your shoe ready, tie your belt, pack your bags and baggages ready. After the killing of that lamb, the next day, you are moving out of Egypt. In the morning, you are moving out of Egypt. Therefore, it is an evening program. It is not a morning program. They were to eat all of it in that night. That is why we take communion at the going down of the sun. It has a meaning. You have to take it in a ready estate, ready to move. Therefore, it's a time to renew your covenant. It's a time to reflect on your estate of salvation. To reflect on the redemption process. It's a time, if Christ come now, am I ready? Praise the Lord. And it is unleavened bread. The bread is without yeast. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says so. Don't eat biscuit. Don't eat biscuit. It's not biscuit. It's not any commercial bread they sell outside. It is normally specially prepared by Holy Ghost-filled hands. In this church, it's a Holy Ghost-filled sister that prepares our bread for us. She's preparing it. She's praying. Everyone that will eat this bread, Lord, whatever is their problem, meet with them. Visit them. Revive them. Restore them. Anytime you eat that bread and she's hearing testimony, she gets very excited. Therefore, the bread is without yeast. Yeast is a type of sin. The body of Jesus Christ was sinless. Sinless body. A type, Jesus Christ, the word of God. We are eating the word now and we are not to eat it with leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. False doctrine must not be mixed. The doctrine that we preach must be unadulterated. That is what unleavened bread, what it means. And remember, the ordinance, you are to eat it for the next 7 days in the ordinance, in the keeping of the feast of the unleavened bread. 7 days, no leaven must be found in the house. What does it mean? 7 church ages, each age, fresh, unadulterated meat of the word of God. For where the carcass is, there are the eagles gathered. Unadulterated word. Praise the Lord. And the wine is not just anything that is red. You don't use Zopo or Coca-Cola. Amen. And there is nothing like special communion wine. It's all commercial nonsense. I saw something they put in the shelf. Communion wine. They sell. There's nothing like that. Any wine you take, but it must have some alcohol in it. Why alcohol? Amen. Because That alcohol, like I explained during the night, vigil, that alcohol there is a preservative. Everything about the communion service must have something, a bearing with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Concerning his blood, there is a life in his blood that comes on the believer. The life that transforms you, regenerates you. And that life that dwells in us and preserves us, despite all the trials we are going through, there is a life we receive that preserves a Christian until the day of redemption. He said, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. That preservative power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. That preservative power is the life in the blood. And it is eternal life. And that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That life is what is typed by that alcohol. The alcohol in that wine preserves that wine. And when you take alcohol, there is an excitement it produces. A type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A type of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That comes upon a believer. And you see an excitement you receive. And above all, there is a healing power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know that alcohol has also healing potentials. That's why Apostle Paul told Timothy that he should take a little alcohol for his often infirmity. There is a healing power that is also in the alcohol, a type of the healing power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why alcohol must be in the wine. If you don't have alcohol in your wine, you have not yet taken anything resembling the blood of Jesus Christ. This evening, we will take a short break now. Hallelujah. And we shall come back. It's expected that you will examine yourself. Because it is also a period of renewal of covenant. A period to renew your covenant that has been sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is also a period to receive the Holy Ghost. You come in the right spirit and you drink that wine, you can receive the Holy Ghost. You come in the right spirit, you take that wine, any sickness in your body will disappear. If they initiated you and gave you something to eat, if you drink that wine, you will vomit it out. That is true. Hallelujah. You are weak spiritually. That bread you take, strength will come back upon you. Your prayer life will be revived. Your Christian life will be revived. Any gift you have inside of you will be revived. That is the importance of the communion. But more importantly, I say, is brotherhood established. May the Lord take us to that realm in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your patience. We're going to take a break now. Hallelujah. And we are coming back when it's 5:15. 5:15, we come back. We come straight to the Lord's table. Renew our covenant. Come and benefit from the cross of Calvary. Can we stand up and let me bless you?